Well, good afternoon once again, everybody. It is a treat to welcome you here to Christchurch. Thank you very, very much for braving the weather. And let me just start by extending Johnny's welcome to you. It's great to see you. Thank you very much for donning wellies and snow boots. I'm not sure if anyone put the snowshoes on their car tyres, but it is terrific to welcome you here. If we've not met already over mulled wine, my name is Adam. I'm one of the vicars here, and it's terrific to have you here for our Christmas carol service this afternoon. Now, the children assure me that it is only 15 sleeps to go. And I wonder what it is that you are looking forward to most. I caught a little bit of Kirsty Allsop's program the other evening. She says it's the fun, the family, the food, and a few days off. I wonder if you're looking forward to the same things. I'm looking forward to the 26th myself. Perhaps it's the tinsel, the tree, the turkey, and all sorts of the other traditions, which of course we delight in and enjoy at this time of year. I admit I love all of it. Well, our tree was bought yesterday. I love it all. I even love the sprouts, I have to confess. I love the sprouts. And that reminds me of what I saw on one channel has been voted as the best Christmas cracker joke of this year. So bear with me. Here goes. What impact will Brexit have on our Christmas lunch? Close. No more Brussels. Sorry. I didn't say it was good. I said it was a cracker joke. I didn't vote. But I love Christmas. I also really love the lights. It's a delight to make the church sparkle. I love all the lights. I haven't been down to Oxford Street yet, but I'm told that the lights there are beautiful this year. I think there's a picture I managed to see on Google Images. 750,000 LED lights on Oxford Street this year. It really, really sparkles. It looks absolutely beautiful, I'm sure. But I especially love the lights because they remind us that for all the fun and festivities of Christmas, that Christmas is for people in dark places. That's why the lights are so good. They remind us that Christmas is for people in dark places. It was there in our first reading that Dan read to us from Isaiah, spoken 700 years before the first Christmas, but very much anticipating its arrival. Let me read to you again. There are on the screen. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. I don't know if you've ever been in real darkness and just longed for some light. My wife Kate and I were on holiday once in the Lake District, long before children, and we were staying in a very remote cottage right up the mountain, and we came home from a lovely supper in a pub one evening, and it was pitch dark in a way that London doesn't understand. It was completely dark. The moon was behind the clouds. We saw no stars. And after a few yards away from the safety of the lights of the pub, we couldn't see our hands really in front of our faces. And so we gingerly stepped forward along the road to find our way home. And after about 100 yards, we tripped over a sheep lying in the road that we hadn't seen. And seeing our ignorance, the landlord of the pub came hurtling out the pub in his Mini Cooper with the lights on full beam and illuminated the road to show, as far as we could see, just hundreds of sheep who'd come down the mountain to sleep on the warm tarmac on a nice August evening. We would never have made it home. The lights brought incredible comfort of that Mini Cooper, I can tell you. Now, of course, it's one thing to be in the dark, stumbling back from the pub, but it's quite another when life feels like that. I mean, in a gathering this size, it is lovely to see so many here, but in a gathering this size, I know there will be some who feel like you are in a dark place this Christmas. There will be trouble at work or trouble at home. There will be worries about health or finances. There will be fear of loneliness. There will be sadness and loss. And if that is you this afternoon, perhaps you just long for some light at the end of the tunnel. And perhaps you see Christmas and think, do you know what, I just don't really fit in this year. The Bible is very clear. Christmas is for people in dark places. But no matter who we are or however we feel this afternoon, the darkness Isaiah is speaking about here is spiritual darkness. And that is something that we all share. It is the darkness of life separated from God, of not knowing who He is or who we really are, of being separated from the very source of life and walking, the Bible says, in the darkness of death. Now, here we are 3 minutes in. You might be thinking, who is this miserly old Scrooge? It's Christmas. It's even snowing. But this is the deep darkness that the Bible describes. And unless we admit our spiritual darkness, we won't really understand Christmas. And we won't celebrate the light as we should. Now, light, of course, always brings comfort in the dark, doesn't it? Our children, they love a nightlight. It's reassuring. It also helps them find the loo in the night. Adults, too, if we hear a bump in the night, we're quick to put a lamp on, aren't we, to be reassured it was just the cat. But what light can comfort you and me in our spiritual darkness like Isaiah describes? 750,000 bulbs of Oxford Street won't do it. But a few lines later, as Dan read, Isaiah tells us, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." See, the light, according to the Bible, for those walking in darkness, isn't a bulb, but a baby. It's not a philosophy, but a person. It's not a religion, but it's a relationship. The only light that can overcome our darkness is the gift of God's Son. And so as we fast forward 700 years and about 370 pages in our Bibles, we get to John's Gospel, which Xenia read. In fact, do take up your copy. We gave the one to each of you as you came in. Just turn straight there to page 1. We're going to dip into it. This is a John's eyewitness account of the life and times of Jesus. And just see how John describes, very poetically as he opens up, but Jesus, that first Christmas. Just look on page 1 of your John's Gospels, verse 5. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." It's extraordinary. John makes no mention of Mary or manger or magi. He knows, I presume, that Matthew and Luke have it covered elsewhere. Now, John wants us clear that Jesus is the long-promised Son of God, given as the light to people walking in the dark. And that is why John describes Christmas. Did you see the last verse Xenia read, verse 14? "The Word," that's another name for Jesus, "the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." You see, friends, the staggeringly good news of Jesus is that out of his great love for us, he couldn't leave us in our darkness, but joined us there. He became flesh. He came as Jesus to lead us out of our darkness into his light. And so because of Jesus, we no longer need to be in the dark about who God is and what he's like. I heard about a child who was painting a picture at nursery. We've got children at nursery age. Perhaps you might know the sort of thing where it's slightly more at the abstract end of modern art, you might say, and you sort of feel compelled to say it's lovely. And politely ask what it is. Well, that happened to this child at this nursery, presented their picture to the nursery nurse, and she said, "It's lovely, Chloe, but what is it?" And Chloe very boldly said, "Well, I've painted God." And the teacher said, "Oh, that's lovely, Chloe, but nobody knows what God looks like." And she paused and smiled and said, "Well, they do now." You see, the Bible is clear that unlike Chloe's painting, Jesus is the light who reveals God to us. We're no longer in the dark about that. Now, I don't know what you make of a claim like that this afternoon, but according to an eyewitness like John, it means we're all left with a choice. Will we reject Jesus, stay in the dark, or will we receive him and accept his light? John unashamedly speaks of both. Just look with me down at verse 10. Again, all on page 1 this afternoon. He speaks firstly of rejection. He, that's Jesus, was in the world. We've heard he made his dwelling among us. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Now let's be just clear what John means here. I'm sure, like me, you've walked past someone in the street. It happens to me all the time. You've walked past someone and you think, I know who that is. But you can't quite place them, and you think, are they from work or from school gates or somewhere? And because you're polite, you just daren't look over your shoulder as you keep walking in case they look over as well, and then you're doubly embarrassed. And then, of course, a couple of nights later, you turn on the telly, especially in North London, oh my goodness, it's Doctor Who, you know, there they are. You sort of knew you recognized them, but you couldn't place them. But that is not the recognition John is speaking about here. No, he's describing the world generally and his culture specifically simply refusing to recognize who Jesus really is. And as John's biography unfolds, it's a very short read, but as it unfolds, it's very clear that Jesus faced that rejection his whole life, from birth to his death at 33. And that rejection came in two forms. There was clear hostility, but there was also just plain indifference. I guess in 21st century London, our rejection tends to be just indifference, doesn't it? I mean, we wouldn't go so far as nailing the guy to a cross. We can just simply ignore him. And so as Jesus is the light that reveals God to us, when we reject him, he's also revealing ourselves to us. And that will always be less comfortable. You see, our natural tendency is to live lives that reject and replace God. They'll treat things that are good, things that he's given us, but treat things that are good as if they are God. And so from relationships to reputation, from careers to children, from fitness to finance, we all have things that are good. Of course they are. But things that have become so central to us that we will simply ignore the man who is God. We've got someone else in his shoes. And it is that the Bible simply calls sin. Now again, it is not a problem to enjoy good things. Of course it's not. I hope my Christmas and yours is full of all sorts of good things. But sin is speaking of the problem of treating Jesus as anything less than he is. As anything less than the eyewitnesses says he is. To reject the light, to choose the dark. A choice that ultimately Jesus will honor. He'll accept. He will leave us there. Separate from the source of life itself. But wonderfully, friends, as we've heard, when we truly understand our darkness, then we'll truly celebrate the light. And that is why Jesus came. And so secondly, John assures us all that if you receive him, that is when we're brought out of darkness into the light of his family. It's funny, isn't it, how that the smallest words in our language can make all the difference. And did you notice the word yet there in verse 12 as Xenia read? There's this talk of rejection and it sounds ominous, us rejecting Jesus, being rejected. And in verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That is quite some U-turn, isn't it? We can receive the gift of Jesus, the right to be called family by God himself, simply by believing in Jesus' name. Nowadays, we tend to pick the names, don't we, of children, just by names that we like the sound of rather than perhaps the meaning of. My name's Adam, as you know. It's not exactly poetic. It means man. I can live with that. I can work with that. Kate and I, we simply pick the names of our children because we just like the names. I don't think we even looked up what their meanings were. So in preparation for today, I was surprised to find out that Oscar means friend of the deer. Wherever that's going, whatever that means. But did you notice, as Eliana read to us from Matthew's biography, that Mary and Joseph were given no choice in the name they gave their little boy? No, they were told, you will call him Jesus, because his name means the Lord saves, and he'll live up to his name. And Jesus was born not simply to reveal our darkness, but to save us from it. And so when we believe in him, trust his name, we receive his rescue. You see, of course, at Christmas we celebrate the baby of the first Christmas, but he was the man of the first Easter. And on his cross, Jesus ultimately fully overcame all darkness. He faced God's rejection on your behalf and mine. Willingly dying the death our rejection deserves. He wasn't a victim, he was a volunteer. That we might only know God's forgiveness. And of course, he overcame all darkness. So he's the one who overcame the darkness of death itself. He rose again. He assures all who receive him, they're brought from darkness and death into the light of life as one of the family. That is the astonishingly good news of the first Christmas. And so just as I close, let me ask you, is Jesus the reason you'll celebrate this Christmas? I mean, when you understand your darkness, you can't help but celebrate his light. And perhaps right now you're not sure that is why you'd ultimately celebrate Christmas. You're grateful for all the fun, the family and the festivities. But he might not be at the very center. But you're open-minded. Well, can I encourage you to just take away one of these John's Gospels, an eyewitness account. It's a very small gift from us to you. It will not take you very long to read it. But read about Jesus. And ask yourself, as you read who John says Jesus is, say, do I agree? Do I agree? And if not, why don't I agree? And then you'll see inside your service sheets, put my teeth in. Inside your sheets, we've also got here some invitation cards, the things happening in January. We're here every Sunday at 4, but in January, we're laying on 3 just very specific occasions where if you just like to think a bit more, to discuss a bit more in all sorts of different settings, who is Jesus? What are his claims? How is he in any way relevant to me? What is more of this darkness? Talk to me about his light. Please do come along. We'd love to do that with you. But friends, for all the fun and the family and the food and a few days off that I hope you're looking forward to, I know I am. For all the gifts I hope you'll receive, I've got my list too. I pray that this Christmas, if you've not done so already, you will not reject Jesus, but receive him. And truly celebrate the joy of being brought from darkness into his light. Well, before Joe comes and leads us together in some prayers, let me just close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that in your great love for those lost in darkness, you sent your Son, Jesus, to be the light we need to reveal who you are, who we are, and how much we need you. We thank you very much for the first Christmas. We thank you for this Christmas and pray that you would help us to celebrate the light that is life in his name. In whose name we pray. Amen. Well, as I say, Joe is going to come and lead us in prayer before we sing again.